Okay, welcome everyone. Glad to see this many SharePoint people together at Mix. It's a good sign of things for SharePoint, and it's nice to see the interest in designing great sites for SharePoint, which is really, the goal that we're trying to achieve is how do we make SharePoint look great, right? We want to build these really great looking SharePoint sites, and how do we do that? So my name is Paul Stubbs. I'm a technical evangelist for DPE. In Redmond, I focus on SharePoint. We do other things like Office and SharePoint developer events. But I specifically focus on SharePoint development. But today, we really want to answer one fundamental question, right? It's the same question that we get the first time that you see SharePoint. The first thing you think about is, great, but how do I make SharePoint not look like SharePoint, right? How many people have thought this question to themselves, right? Everybody, yeah? So let's see if we can try to answer this question and see where we go. Well, the good thing is that you're not alone. There are thousands of SharePoint sites, and people have figured out how to make SharePoint not look like SharePoint. And so if we look at this site here on wssdemos.com, we can see that we have a Silverlight pivot application. So in this application, what we'll see is examples of all of the public sites out there that are using SharePoint, and we can see what they look like. Now, this is a pivot application, so we can do a lot of cool things. We can filter. We can do things like, sort by industry, and then we can view it based upon, different items. But what's really interesting is that we can actually just drill down into any particular item and see exactly, what that site looks like. And you can see here's a site, Critical Path Training. It doesn't really look like a SharePoint site, right? But this is a SharePoint site. We can do others, we could zoom around. We can just individually click on one and jump down to a particular site, and we can see that these sites don't really look like SharePoint sites. These look like just any other site that you would go see on the internet, right? Which is really the goal in what we're going to try to do. So how do we do that? Well, we're going to talk about four things and four kind of techniques that we can help make our sites better today, and sort of a pay-as-you-go kind of model where you can do a little bit of work and get a good result, all the way up to doing some really advanced techniques to get the results you want. The first thing we're going to look at is theming in SharePoint. So we're going to see how can we apply theming, what is the theming model for SharePoint, and how does that apply to our sites. The second thing we're going to look at is around branding, actually fully customizing your sites and to make them look not like SharePoint. And then we're going to look at another one, which is kind of the theme of the conference here, which is around HTML5, which is, how can I enable my SharePoint sites to take advantage of HTML5? And what are some of the HTML5 things I can do on my SharePoint site? And then the last one is kind of, what can I do to enable my SharePoint sites to leverage some of the new capabilities in IE9? And we'll take a look at how that happens. So the first thing we have are SharePoint themes. Now, SharePoint themes allow us to change the colors and a couple of fonts on our site very easily. The SharePoint themes are based off of Office themes, so the Office THMX files. And the way this works is that you can go into a theme design tool, which we ship one in Office called PowerPoint. You go into a theme design tool like PowerPoint, design your themes, export them as a THMX file, upload that file to SharePoint, and then that theme can then be applied to your SharePoint sites. But what happens behind the scenes is when you go to apply that theme, SharePoint is actually converting that theme to plain old CSS in the background. So ultimately, your SharePoint sites are just running off of CSS. But you get there through the SharePoint, through the theme files. And they also add this interesting kind of add-on to the way that SharePoint handles themes to make your theme-aware CSS files. This allows you to attribute or add hints to your CSS file as to how to apply the themes, such that if you have a CSS file that sets a background color of blue, you can add a hint on there saying, But if somebody adds a theme, then make my background color accent one or whatever you want from the theme file. And that really gives you the ability to create themable CSS files for your site, right? And you create one CSS file, and you could have team sites with different colors. And so you create one CSS file, and then each team could apply a theme setting different colors for that site, but yet it would kind of adhere to your core CSS file. So let's take a look at this. Let's switch over to my machine here. So here I have a SharePoint site. This is my standard out-of-the-box look and feel of your SharePoint site. So everybody should be familiar with these three people. So the first thing we do here is we can come over to our site actions and go to site settings. Over here on our look and feel section, we have site theme. And when we bring up the theme, we can see that right now I have the default or no theme. And we can set one of the themes based upon one of these preset themes that are in the box. So if I pick the Azure theme here, I get this kind of blue. I could pick Barry, and you can see that these colors match with the office colors. So if I open PowerPoint, the way I would design a theme file is I would come over here to design and choose any of these colors by setting them here. I could pick these colors. I could create new colors. I could set the fonts from here. And these map to, so if I do this, you can see that these colors here, the dark and light and the accent colors, are the colors that map to your SharePoint site. And then all I would do is come here and say save current theme, and then I would save this as a THMX file. So once I've done that, I can easily come up here to the theme gallery and upload a theme into the theme gallery. Now these files here, you can see as I hover over them, that they're just THMX files being stored in a document library inside of SharePoint. So once we pick one of the themes, what we can actually do is we can actually preview that theme file without actually applying the theme to our SharePoint site. And we can see what our site would look like if we preview it. Now, when I click on this to preview, like if I do Barry, for example, when I click preview, what's happening is it takes a little while because it's generating that CSS on the background on the fly. So when I apply those colors, it generates that CSS and then caches that CSS file on the site. Now, what's interesting is the preview is kind of interesting because I can see what it looks like, but the problem with it here, this is a little trick I'll share with you, the problem with this here is that I can only preview the home page. So what if I design some subpage that I wanted to preview? I can't really preview the page. Well, fortunately, there's a way here where, so here's that same page. I've broken it out of that pop-up dialog. And what you can see is all I need to do is add this theme override parameter onto the page, and we can preview what that page is going to look like. So if I want to see what my calendar looks like in the theme preview, I can just apply that theme override, and it will apply that theme in preview mode without actually setting it on my site. So it becomes very useful to do that. And then I can even come up here if I know the actual THMX file and put it in here, and it will apply that theme on the fly. Now what will happen is if you haven't run preview at least once on that file, and the CSS hasn't been generated, it'll get kind of weird and get crazy and do some strange things because it's trying to read that cached CSS, which doesn't exist. So just make sure you preview first, then you can go to any of the pages and look at them. Great. So the next problem around theming is, great, that's really cool, I can kind of do some lightweight coloring and stuff on my site. But when I use Silverlight, I throw my Silverlight application onto the site, and it doesn't match. It looks like whatever I created in. So how can I get my Silverlight applications to adhere and to understand the SharePoint themes, right? And so what we want to do is we want to have our Silverlight application, you see in the image here, pick up the colors and the theming from your SharePoint site. And so the way we do that is there's actually a toolkit that we released last year that enables us to do that. So in this case, if we open our site again, let me come out to one of my pages here. So here you can see I have a Silverlight application. This is a very basic Silverlight application here that lets me do some registration and stuff. And it doesn't have a theme applied. Now, what happens is when I actually apply a theme, like let's apply the Azure theme again, it will actually theme itself to the theme that's on my site. And so if I want to change this again to Barry, we'll see that the Silverlight application automatically picks up the theme of the SharePoint site and themes itself accordingly. Now you've really got something going here where you can get your, you know, the real look and feel of your sites down. So how does this work? Let's take a look at the code. So the first thing we do is we can download the kit. So if you want to go out and do, you can go download the kit. So it's out here on the code gallery. And it's at SLSP theme off of the code gallery once the network comes while that's working. So all we have to do is once you download the kit, I have Silverlight application here. Go back up. So in my Silverlight application, I've added a reference to the theme control here, which is all the code that enables theming. And to make this work, we go to our app page here at the launch. And the first thing we see here is that it's just a standard page. What I do is I create a new theme control and wrap my user control in my theme control. Then the page will automatically look for this parameter called theme URL. And this is where the server passes down the path to the current theme to the Silverlight application, to this current theme file of the THMX file of the Silverlight application. Also, I've added some code here to handle the override so that if I just do the override, then it may not pass down the current theme because the current theme is still no theme, right? So when I do the override, the current theme is still no theme or whatever theme I had set. So I need to handle the override. And the way I handle the override is that I look to see if the override parameter was passed, and then I pull that parameter out and actually go look up that theme based upon the override, which is that path to the THMX file, right? Then the next thing you do is you set the root page to be your kind of wrapped theme page. And that's it. And looking at the XAML code for this, if we look at the front end of this, we'll see all I really have here is this THMX namespace that I've added, which is basically a reference to the controls. But other than that, there's really nothing inside of this page that is themed because it all and picks up the implicit theming of Silverlight. So everything just automatically picks up the correct themes, right? So if I look through here, I don't see anything. Now, there are a couple places where we've done some advanced things where I can do things like override some of the current settings. So if I go up here to, you can see here, I'm actually overriding that style with the title border style, right? So there's some kind of cool things you can do. And it picks up theming. So now what's happening in this application is kind of cool. So I told you that when SharePoint goes and uses the theme, it takes the THMX file and converts it to CSS. And so what this application does is when you go to apply the theme, it takes the THMX file and converts it to native Silverlight themes on the fly. Right? And so you pick up, like when you go out there now to Silverlight themes, you get things like the bubble cream theme and all those great ones, right? You guys know those? This does essentially that thing, right? It creates that theme file on the fly. So you could go in and tweak that code to make it apply to more settings or whatever you want to, right? The source code's out there for you. So we convert that on the fly, and then we cache that stuff locally, so each time you go to use the application, it doesn't generate it again on the fly. But in the end, it gives you the ability to theme your SharePoint applications. Let's see if our page came up. So here's the page for that, right? So you can go download it. It's at the Microsoft.com, and SLSP theme is the name of the source project. And you can just download it. You can view the source code and anything else. Okay. Okay, so let's talk about branding a little bit. So branding is kind of this term we use to mean, like, how do I make the site look like my product and look like my other web assets that I have today? Now, this is the default SharePoint site, like you saw. And we have a bunch of new templates that we're going to release in the near future that you can learn from, and I'm going to use some of those today. But these new templates that we have will release. You'll have the source code for them. You can see how you can make your own sites look like this. And these are some of the examples that we have. Now, a lot of them are very different. They're intentionally all meant to be very different, but everything in here are things that you can do with SharePoint, and these are all SharePoint sites. So you'll see some that may look familiar. These have all been updated for 2010. And you'll have a very rich SharePoint experience with these templates, right? So you can take these, and these are actually implemented as site templates. So you can say file new Contoso site, and you would get an instance of the site. But you'll get all the source code, so you could theoretically tear these apart and implement them however you want to. But you can see that each one of these is very unique, and if I didn't tell you, you probably wouldn't be able to understand that it was a SharePoint site, because they're all fundamentally very different. They all have a very different look and feel to them. Right? And these are the kind of things that you guys are looking to do, right? These are the kind of sites you want, right? And so this gives you the ability to have all the power behind SharePoint, but have a look and feel of a site that your users won't be afraid of. And you see that there are quite a few of these sites, and they are very rich and very visual, but they're still SharePoint sites. They're still based upon the fundamental concept that we have here. And really, SharePoint sites are, in essence, ASP.NET sites. So we have master pages. And master pages are really the things that go around the page. They're the top-level kind of page container. And if you looked at this page, you'd see like these type of things would be in the master page part of the page. But SharePoint also has this concept of page layouts. And page layouts you can kind of loosely think about as like nested master pages, right? Kind of master pages within the master page. And so for here, the page layout would be like this section here would be defined in the page layout. So as you think about building your sites, think about them in those terms. Think about, okay, here's my master page. I'm going to define the footer and header of all my pages. And then for each page type, I will define a kind of master page framework for that page type. And then ultimately, all this is tied together through just, you know, CSS. The other piece to this, which isn't on the slide really, which is about data. So SharePoint allows you to create these page layouts and page templates, master pages. But the thing that really makes these come alive is that the data, the things that you put on those master pages and page layouts are stored in the content database of SharePoint, right? So many times you'll define a region which may be just a wiki region or a rich text region, and then you'll actually put content in there when you create an instance of that page. So you may not define the entire page in SharePoint, but you'll define the structure of the page in this format, and then you'll go and then add the content and further look and feel that will go in the content database. So let's take a look in this one. We'll drill down into the fourth coffee site to see what that looks like. Let's get rid of our great-looking Silverlight app. So here in the fourth coffee site is a fairly rich site. Now, one of the things that we have here is this is still a SharePoint site. And the way these templates are structured is that it should be able to come down here. And you can see that it's just a SharePoint site, right? This is the layout section of that SharePoint site. And I have the existing site themes that I could apply to this site. And this is where you would apply a theme that would override something in your existing site, right? But we've also defined custom master pages. And if we come here to the site, we can see that we have this custom master page called Fourth Coffee. And this is basically fundamentally your starting point for building your sites. Build a custom master page and then apply it to your site here, right from this settings dialog. So now, one of the things, if I come back, we see that part of the master page, we've designed the feature into the master page such that if I go there first, it's kind of anonymous, and there's no sort of SharePoint Chrome. But if I do something like go to the settings page, which forces me to log in, then when I come back, I'll have the kind of SharePoint Chrome at the top that I can now edit the page because I've gone there as an administrator. If we put this page in edit mode, what we can see is we have, you know, these sections that are really SharePoint content. And clicking in one of these sections, I could edit these because they're just rich text boxes. So if I look at this one, let's look at the source of this control, we can see that I've set aside space for that control, and then I've just added basically the HTML that I want to go into that control. Now, this HTML is stored in the content database. The template itself doesn't have that defined in it. So when we look deeper into this, you'll see that kind of how these pieces fit together. Now, interestingly enough, we can see that we have this stuff up here, which is part of our master page, and this stuff down here. But all of this stuff in the middle is part of the page layout, such that if we go back to our page here, if I look at other pages, we can see that you can see the page layout changes. This is that part of the page layout. The home page part here stays the same, and our footer stays the same, which is part of the master page. But the page layout section changes significantly. And so here's our about page. We also have a flavors page, which is different. And then we have our blog section, which is yet again different again, right? And so here you can see we can still fundamentally put all of our SharePoint stuff, in this case the blogging, inside of here. So let's take a look deeper at what this looks like. And what we'll use is SharePoint Designer. So here I've opened SharePoint Designer to that site. We can see if I go to the master pages section here, we can see I have a Fourth Coffee master. And let's open this one, and I'll actually edit this with Visual Studio to make it a little bit easier to read. Okay. Now, granted, this is fairly complicated, and this is kind of a SharePoint master page. Now, what makes this complicated is that SharePoint defines these regions or sections to put your stuff. And depending on what's in that region, SharePoint may do something with it. For example, there's a region for the ribbon, so that I could easily put a ribbon on any page, and other pages may expect that ribbon to be there, right? And so this is the kind of things that you'll see. Now, a lot of this stuff on here is boilerplate. In other words, you can start with what we call a blank master, and the blank master will have dozens of these regions on the page because they're required, but they'll be hidden. So you as a developer or a designer won't need to really worry about all those regions. You can just go in and focus on the main content region that you want to do and find that. So we'll see. If we look down through this, we can see that it's fairly complicated. Some of the things they're doing in here are, he's put some CSS in here. It's fairly well commented. But one of the ways that I use is to do F12 on your main page and then use the picker to find something you're interested in. Like, let's say we want to look for that logo. We can see that here in our F12 site, we can see that it has the, it's here in the content div and it's in the body container, right? So if we want to do a search for that, so let's do a search for body container. Come back to our site here. We can see here is where that region becomes, and we can start putting our content into these regions, right? We get our breadcrumbs, we get custom CSS linking, and so on and so forth. But fundamentally, this is how you design your master pages. Start with your blank one and just add in the small sections that you need to do this. So when you look at this, don't think it's overwhelming. Think there's really only a small place where I need to put my code, and that's what you have to think about. Now, the other piece to this is, once we get out of the master page, is the page layouts. So now what we can do is come down here to page layouts, and we can see we have a number of page layouts. So if we go to the home page, so here's the page layout for the home page. We'll edit this in Visual Studio again. And we can see here's our home page again. Now the home page is structured very similar to the master pages, so once you get your head around master pages, the home page is going to be the exact same thing. You can see there are a bunch of regions. Here we have a publishing control, we have the web controls for the CSS registration, and you'll find a whole number of these on the page, and that's where you put your stuff. So let me show you. So if we go back to our home page here, do our F12 trick, we can see that if we come over to our coffee and look at this, what we see here is that we're in this S4 CA section, and we have the coffee here under flavors, bottles, and flavors, right? But that data, we see it on this page here, but that data is fundamentally coming from the content database. So when we actually go and look for that, so we want to look for the... Go back to our SharePoint site here. Sorry. And we can see that we get our edit panel here, and this is the panel that we have that allows us to edit inside of that region. And so we have a very, very rich way to come down through our page and add these controls. And you can see these are the little boxes that allow us to put in the panels in here. But again, the page layout works in conjunction with the master page. So every time I create a new instance of a home page, I would get this structure on top of my master page with the content from the database. So those three things together build your exact page. And you see the final output we saw in the F12, that's the kind of final rendering. The page we're looking at here in the source code is the code before the actual data from the content database is applied to it. But again, it's understand those concepts makes it very easy to edit these pages because you know I just need to edit this one section, here's where my main body goes, and I can go in there and add HTML to that section as easily. The last piece of this that makes up your pages are the CSS. Now we can drill down through our files here. Wait for this to come up. And we can see how all of this actually is deployed. There we go. So the master pages goes into the catalog master pages folder. Here's where we see those. This all files view that I'm looking at is kind of the raw SharePoint structure of where this stuff goes. Now SharePoint Designer has these roll-ups on the side that kind of help us get a logical view of where these items are in SharePoint. Where the all files is the kind of raw SharePoint folders view, the 14 folder view of where everything is. But what we can do here is if we go back out, we can go into libraries as well. So if I look in the style library, I can see that this is where I store my CSS files. So, like for example, ENUN, let's go back to themable, course styles. And so these are some of the styles that are in the master page. And what's interesting, if I look at this real quick, you can see that this is my CSS file that ships out of the box with SharePoint. This is one of the alternate styles. And you can see the comments on there for the theme overrides. So you can see that, oh, I'm going to do background, but if you set a theme, replace the font to be the minor font from whatever the theme file is set. So you would just go through your CSS files and add the theme overrides to your CSS files to make those make your CSS files themable. All right, let's go back to the style library. But in this case, Fourth Coffee ships, and they deploy as a folder inside the style library, and it contains all of their CSS files that they're using. And so we can see, you know, here we have all the CSS files. Again, this is just basic CSS. There's nothing fancy or SharePointy about these files in any way. If we also go back, we can also see that there's some script files. So you can see they're using jQuery on their site. So very easy to add jQuery elements or other JavaScript things to your master pages or your page layouts. And then finally, we can see that the images they're using for that site. And if we click on any one of these images, we can easily preview it in the browser and look at these images. But again, if you're building a site or if you've built any ASP.NET sites in the past, this is very familiar. I have master pages, I have page layout, I have CSS, we have images, we have JavaScript, right? This is standard web stuff that we're building. Now, the complexity comes because SharePoint adds a layer of control and structure onto that. But once you understand there's a number of regions that are required, just kind of ignore them and don't worry about them, and put your stuff into the main content regions, the rest is all just standard web stuff, right? So let's talk a little bit about SharePoint and HTML5. Now, it's really exciting that we can take HTML5 and leverage it with SharePoint, right? Things with IE9 really now enables us to use HTML5, as you've seen all week. Great things like Canvas and SVG to add a lot of interactivity. A lot of things you might have been doing with Silverlight or Flash in the past, now we can do with HTML5. We have audio and video support, Geolocx, CSS3. You've heard all of this all week long, right? We can also do JavaScript, jQuery, and stuff like that. But how do we do that? You know, let's really take a look at what it takes to turn our SharePoint site into an HTML5 site. So first one I'll do is I'll bring up an example that I have. So I bring up the City Power and Light. Now what you can see is it's asking me for some request. So right away you know that this is a HTML5 site because it's trying to use the geolocation service to go figure out where I'm at. And so then I can enable it. And so once I enable it, I use a geolocation service to go out and figure out where I'm at and then look up the weather. And then based upon what that weather may be, display the weather as a HTML5 canvas in the background of my master page. And I have, you know, they're random, and it generates them randomly based on random size and random motion and so on and so forth. So that's pretty cool, right? I mean, I like the effect where it goes behind the trees in the title bar. It goes in behind some of your page layout features. But a very simple effect to apply to your SharePoint sites. And again, this was just SharePoint out of the box. Now, when I show you the code is actually based upon Giorgio Sardo's code that he wrote a while ago for snowing. He wrote some snow effect on his blog, and he generates that. Now, what I've done is I've taken that and then applied it to SharePoint and done a few other things to it, which I'll talk about. But the first thing I did was that he generates his snowflakes based upon vector calculations and actually draws the snowflakes. I converted that code to actually use PNGs to randomly generate the suns based on PNGs, or if it's snowing or cloudy or whatever the weather is, it'll use the correct PNG to show you the weather in the background. So that's one of the things that's different. But other than that, the code is fundamentally the same. And let's take a look at what happens and how that works. So again, back to SharePoint Designer here. When I go and open the page, let's go and open our master page for this site. I want to open this with Visual Studio. So the first thing you notice is that I've changed the default master to be the HTML5 content tag, right? It's a fundamental thing. Once you do that, the rest is pretty easy because it just picks up the stuff automatically. So if we go down a little bit more, what we'll see is the next thing I changed was I set the compatible content here, the XUA compatible flag here to IE9. So once we have that set, then it becomes very easy to just start doing HTML5 stuff here. So the first thing I do is I want to load the weather, and in this case I'm using Modernizer to do it. You may have seen this earlier in the week. Modernizer allows you to do things like testing for individual features to see if they work. In this case, what I'm doing is also using the Yep Nope library, which is joined with Modernizer in the 2.0 beta, so that as soon as I load Modernizer, it automatically loads the Yep Nope library for me. And that allows me to do things like dynamic loading of not only JS files, but CSS files. And in this case, I'm just showing a quick example of if there's geolocation support, then I can do one thing, which in this case is load a particular CSS. And if there's not support, I could load a different CSS. So I can do dependency checking inside of my files and do various things. And in this case, if irregardless of whether it's yes or no, if I want to always load jQuery and the two JS files that I wrote for this application, which is the where am I JS, which does my geolocation, and then the snowing JS, which is the file I got from Giorgio's blog post, and then modified. So once we have that done, we can see that, just to complete this round here, there is a callback. So the first callback there happens, it fires every time a file is loaded. So that'll get called every time one of the files loaded, and you can do whatever you want to in that case. Or when it's done, in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call the locate function. And the locate function will kind of kick off the whole process of looking up where I'm at. So what I've done is I've put all my files in the style library here under weather. So here are my scripts. So let's look up, first start with the where am I file. Let's open this with Visual Studio if it's going to let me. So the first thing is my locate method, where I call navigator geolocation get current position. And then I have two callbacks, when it finds it or if it doesn't find it. If it finds it, then what we do is we call the getWeather method. The getWeather method will then look up the current weather based upon the latitude and longitude. And so in this case, what I'm using is the World Weather Online site, and I'm passing a JSONP call to that site to get me the weather based on the lat and long, and the query that's passed up above, which is just lat and comma longitude. And so once that comes back, it becomes very easy to then extract the weather, the exact description of the weather from that thing, which in this case, I'm going to go grab the current weather. This site actually will return you a forecast, so I only want today's weather, so I'll pick the first one. And then I'll actually call the snow method, which is the code from Giorgio's blog to actually make it snow, or in this case, make it sun. So you can see this comes from Giorgio's blogs, who he got it from, David Flanders, and so on and so forth. And now I've modified it and will probably put out a version of this later myself. Now all of this code up on top is his code, and it's just basic code, so I'm going to kind of skip through it fairly quickly. I didn't really change any of this code, but I'll tell you how it works and so we can understand this. First thing we do is we build a canvas. And so once I create a canvas object, I want to stick the canvas as the first child, in other words, on the bottom of the stack of my page, so that it'll appear under everything else. And so I first get the first child element there, and I use the z index of -1 to make sure that it's stuck at the bottom of the stack. And then once I do that, I actually need to get a reference to the drawing surface, which I get context to the 2D, and that gives me a reference, which I call sky, to the actual drawing surface that I'm going to write my objects on. This code here, this is sort of my setting up my game loop, if you will. This is my timer interval, so this will keep firing. And every time this fires, I move the sun around and add new suns to the board, if you think about it in terms of gaming like that. So every time it fires, it's going to create a snowflake, and it's going to also move the snowflakes. So I have two kind of game loops going at the same time here. And you'll see why in a second. Reset the canvas, and then drawing the flakes. So here's where he draws the flakes. I don't actually use these methods anymore. But he's actually drawing. If we look at this snowflake method here, he's actually drawing these using vectors and calculating how to draw the snowflake by just drawing a vector, right? Lines, simple lines. But I don't do that because I'm going to use PNG, so this code's not used in mine. And then we create our snowflakes. Now, this isn't drawing the snowflake. This is creating the properties or the parameters of a snowflake and adding it to a collection or an array of snowflakes. And so every time that fires, I'm adding a new snowflake, or in this case, the sun or whatever the weather is, onto the array. And then every time the counter fires, I move them. And so I move them by basically iterating through the whole collection and then position them on the map and keep track of where they are, right? And do things like random sizes and random locations and, you know, make them move sideways a little bit and things like that, right, to make them kind of float down the page. So that's all basic stuff. Now here in his draw weather, this is where I actually do the work. So right here in his code is where he calls the draw the vector snowflake, and I replaced it with my draw weather code instead of draw snow. And all I do is, it's very simple. It's more simple than drawing the vectors. All I do is call the draw image method on the canvas and actually stick that image onto that location. And that's as simple as it gets. So very easy to kind of add a kind of, you know, cheap party trick to your site. But you can see how easy it was to convert this site to be HTML5 with just this little bit of code, right? So the last one is, how do we get IE9 involved with SharePoint? There are a lot of really great things about IE9 that we have available to us, and that are very easy for you to add to your own sites. For example, we have these things, these concepts of jump lists and adding the ability to have custom icons. We could have custom thumbnails, and we could even do the toolbars on our icons. Now, in this case, the toolbar icons don't make a lot of sense for a site that's not doing media, but things like jump lists and having custom icons, I could even do overlay icons. Those are kind of interesting, right, for most sites. And so how would you do that on your SharePoint site? So let's go back to our site again here. So this is my master page again for the Contoso site. Let's actually bring up our site. Now, one of the things you see here is if I take this site and pin it, what I get is I actually get a, let me get my site pinned here. I get a custom icon that I've added. In this case, it's a battery icon. For the power and light company, I have a custom icon that appears down there on the site, right? And once you do that, the other things you get are, I get the custom icon up here at the top, so that appears off to the left of the arrows. And you can also choose the button color, so I chose this great turquoise color. But you can make that color be the color of your site. That becomes very easy. And then what I also get down here is if I actually right-click on the right-click on the icon, I can add my own jump list so that I can jump to various sections in my site. Now, the piece that's not done here, which is the next step of this demo, would be to tie that jump list to dynamically from your site navigation menu in SharePoint. So from the site navigation menu, you can dynamically generate that task list to match your site so that as you add new sites or pages, that would automatically be created from the site navigation of SharePoint. Now, the great thing about this is that you can add this to your sites now without having to HTML5 enable your sites, and even down-level browsers won't have any problem with this. And so the way we do this is fairly straightforward. So I can come up here and use things like these meta tags, which is application name. That way it'll give it a name when I save it. I can do tooltips, which will show me where I'm starting from. The start URL, which is the actual page when I click on this, right? So, which is like, if I go down into my site, imagine I'm in my site somewhere and someone drags that page onto my taskbar and pins it. If I set that start URL, when they click on that, they're going to go to whatever page I set, not whatever page they dragged, right? So if you want to force them back to a particular page, you can set that with that thing. The window is, like you saw when I opened this, and maybe that wasn't obvious. Let me do that again. When I open this by clicking on this, the window opens at 600 by 800. So you can kind of pre-specify a window size that you want them to open that window by. In this case, you can see that I open it by 800 by 600. You can see I set the color to aqua to set for the great site. And then you can see battery icon and then another image for the larger image. And then my jump list down here where I define the jump list and so on and so forth. Again, it's kind of out-of-the-box stuff. You can see a lot of this on the IE test drive page. There's a lot of great tutorials on how to do this. It becomes very easy to add that to your pages. And the benefit you get is immediate, right? Because now all your SharePoint sites have these very rich capabilities that light up in IE9 without a lot of work. And then you can see there's my tooltip, and so on and so forth. But again, great experiences being able to take my SharePoint site, easily add HTML5, easily add these IE9 capabilities with hardly any work, and I get a really good benefit out of that. So finally, to recap, we saw that you can go start very easy and just do theming, right? Use PowerPoint to design your themes, set up your themes. And then we can go further with actual branding, right? Whether you want to tweak the master pages, whether you want to tweak the page layouts, whether you want to do CSS, right? You kind of choose how far you go. A lot of times what you'll see is people will start with CSS, maybe start by adding some scripts to that, maybe adding some other custom things to an existing master page, and that's really the way you go, right? So you don't think of this as I'm starting from scratch. You think of it as I'm starting from a known point and incrementally adding stuff to it is really the way to get started. And again, once we ship all of these templates, you'll be able to have all the source code for all these templates, and you can use those as your starting point. So if you see one of these that you like as kind of structurally right, you can take that and then apply your own stuff to it. And then we finally saw, the power of adding HTML5 to our SharePoint sites. We get great things like CSS3, so we can make all of our SharePoint dialog boxes rounded and other great things. And then IE9 makes it very easy to integrate with IE9, right? Make your sites feel like real applications. Make them available to users. Let them pin your work sites to their desktop and get back in and get going. So with that, first thing I would say, call to action, is download the Information Worker VHD. How many people have used this VHD before? Nobody? Yes. So this VHD, if you go out there to that site, has everything set up for you. It's a fully loaded SharePoint site with Fast and everything turned on. It has Visual Studio, it has Office, everything you need to build SharePoint solutions. Just download the VHD, start it up, and you're ready to go. You don't have to install or do anything. And in fact, this is the VHD that I'm using today. Download the developer training kit. My group builds training kits for MSDN. So we have basically a 5 to 7 day course online for SharePoint development. It has videos, it has hands-on labs, it has PowerPoint presentations. It's actually very good. learn about HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. As SharePoint developers, a lot of this may be new to you. Maybe you've done just mostly back-end stuff. But definitely, to help your career, start going forward with HTML, JavaScript, jQuery. Learn that. It's going to become increasingly useful as SharePoint developers and moving forward. Finally, I have a branding book that came out recently. So if you're interested, you can pick this up at your local library. Also, this week, I've released a new course on MSDN for Silverlight and SharePoint development. This is a 2-day course. It has 10 modules for doing a lot of advanced Silverlight and SharePoint things like SEO. You know, I showed you how to brand your Silverlight application, make it feel like SharePoint, but also now how do you get your Silverlight applications to interact with Fast, and how do you do that sort of stuff. So a lot of really interesting and advanced topics in that course, so you can download that course as well. I have another book that's in progress right now, which is a Silverlight 5 and SharePoint book. You can actually, as we write the code, we put it out there on the code gallery at SPSL on code.msdn. So there's a lot of really great examples. We did a boot camp on Monday, and we go through a lot of techniques. All that code is out there. Also, it's part of Safari Rough Cuts, so as we write the chapters, the publisher posts them online immediately as soon as we hand them over to them. So as we write the book, you could also read it along with us. I also do the SharePoint Sideshow, which is a Channel 9 show. So if you go out to channel9.msdn.com/shows, you'll find all these great shows, a kind of 200, 300 level, but we talk about a lot of interesting topics and how to get started, how to find more information about SharePoint. And with that, thank you very much. I know this is the last day of the conference, and I thank you all for coming. We do have about 10 minutes for questions, so either step up to the mic or I'll repeat your question. And again, thank you for coming. Please fill out your evals. Yes? Yeah, so the question is, when are we going to release the site templates? All I can say is soon. We're working on it very hard. As you can imagine, there's a lot of process involved with getting things released, so we can do it right. So, but we're soon, very soon. If you want to ping me offline, maybe I can give you more details about that. So just send me an email at pstubs@microsoft.com. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, so the branding feature, all of that stuff is available on Foundation to do everything I showed you. You don't strictly need the publishing feature. The publishing feature helps, but you can go in and change and edit all the master pages and everything of your Foundation site. You can change the page layouts, you just can't publish them, right, which is the publishing part of that. There's a question down front. So the built-in Silverlight SharePoint web parts aren't themed. That's something that the developer has to add on top of your existing code. So if you do theme your site, like the org browser won't be themed. That'll still stay the way it looks today. Anybody else? Was there another one over here? Yeah.
Is there a way to apply HTML5 on, say, out-of-the-box page? Say, is that default .js page that's being created for team sites?
Yeah, so the question is, can I just go to my page and add that? Problem is, it has to be added at the master page because that controls the doc type, right? And so that's where it becomes. So from my understanding, Modernizer just tells you whether that feature is available and can work around a particular feature. I don't know if the doc type is wrong, how it works. It may work. You may be able to try it. Yeah. Is there another question? Yeah, so the question is, did I experience any issues when I changed that? And on that master page that I did, everything just worked. Now, that doesn't mean that that's supported and everything's going to work. I mean, you're going to have to test your sites, right? There may be edge cases where certain features don't work in SharePoint. That's something that I wouldn't suspect, but I would make sure you test everything. I think you'd have better luck with your pages as opposed to the administration pages, right? That's, I think, where you may run into trouble. like changing that to HTML5, and then I went into the settings. Does every admin feature in there work with that setting? I don't know, and that's what you'd have to test for. But I would say that all the pages you create should work because they're your own pages, and so you should be able to overcome any issues that are there. All right. Thank you. If you have any other questions, just come up afterwards and we'll talk.